if the starter waits too long, tension is disappearing.
Okay.
If a starter is too fast, there's a false start.
So you have to...
It's a timing. It's a feeling.
Okay. All right. Well, I will just launch this interview because we have little time.
Yeah.
And I will push the button here.
The Earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena.
The baby, please. I have a dream.
Shouldn't we consider in every nation a fundamental restructuring of economic, political, social, and religious institutions?
We humans are capable of greatness.
What is in your life's blueprint?
Hi everyone, Camille here. Welcome to Cosmic, human beings on planet Earth trying to figure out what the hell is going on. It feels like only the military is able to get something done and get a group of people to collaborate with precision and style. Really? Not true, my friends. My guest today is not from the military, and he has a lot to teach us about extreme precision and coordinating a movement for perfect results. Cosmic is a new network for changemakers working on urgent social and environmental issues. And this is our podcast where I receive guests from Europe and beyond. We talk about change, we listen to good music, we escape. Sitting in Lyon, France today, and my guest is Maestro Ernst Van Thiel, the orchestra conductor. Welcome, Ernst.
Thank you.
So it's a lot of pressure for me today because we play music on the show and I need to make sure I'm playing something good today.
This was a very good start.
Okay, you know Harold Lopez?
Yeah, I love it.
It's just I'm getting addicted to his tunes and I can't get enough.
Yeah.
Okay, listeners are thinking, what the hell? Why do we have an orchestra conductor on the show today? You and me know why, and we're going to try to unpack a little bit what we can learn from you and people of your profession. For those who start from scratch and are not familiar with what is the role of the orchestra conductor, well, there's a lot, but can you say in brief, can you tell us what is the mission of the orchestra conductor?
Well, the base is the mission is that the conductor made the orchestra play what a composer has written in the score. That's very short, but of course it's complex, but there is a score. For this score, we need 70, 80, 90 musicians. We have limited time, so the conductor has to let them play and give some inspiration to play it on the highest level. Hmm. When I compare it, say, with 40, 50, 60 years ago, a conductor was also a little bit a teacher. But these days, the musicians are so fantastic, especially in orchestras like this. It's the highest level. So who am I to tell them how to play? No, I just coordinate. We make the music together. And in the concert you have seen, film concert, I have to synchronize the music with the film.
Right. So just to give a bit of context, yesterday night in Lyon, you invited me to assist to attend the Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back film concert, where you're directing the orchestra live while the film is playing on the screen. It was incredible. My wife was crying after 2 minutes, and it's a very special experience that I recommend to everyone. And here it's very tricky because you need to synchronize with what's on the screen, but it's a good illustration of managing the tempo, the articulation, and the interpretation of the score, right?
Yes, and what very, very important is that it's not just a fight to keep everything together on the right moment, but to let the orchestra breathe, to let them play free, but still on a split second exactly where they have to be.
Right.
And for me, the most important is to be prepared 100%. The preparation at home is, for the conductor now, is very important. I have the film, I have the score, I learn the music, and I learn the timing.
Right.
And then I start the rehearsal with the orchestra. The orchestra cannot see the film. They have to trust me. They have to follow me in every little change in tempo I do, in dynamic, because there's also dialogues. So this is the work of the conductor in this particular kind of concert.
Right. So you develop this talent and this skill by preparing hard. Is there anything else?
Well, of course, you need some talent. But like in all kinds of arts, if you're a writer or a painter, it's a lot of work, training, developing, and then comes the artistic expression. So I trained myself in keeping tempo. You can do this every day, every minute of the day. I train myself how to handle such a big orchestra without that they felt kept in too strict metronome.
Yeah,
they have to feel space to develop their musicality, and this is so. One of the things that's important for me is that I loved the way to develop this.
Mm.
Because if you don't like this, then it's a difficult way.
Right.
And what I also learned is when it's about leadership, that I played a long time ago, I played in orchestras myself. And you feel immediately the difference between people who play they are a conductor and people who are a conductor.
Hmm.
They are natural, and if you play the leader, people don't accept it.
Hmm. So that you need to have spend time,
yes,
in the game to,
yeah,
be able to really connect with that frequency that you're going to.
Yeah.
Wow. We're going to listen to one track that I'm sure you know about, and maybe comment on it.
Huntsman or a player that made you pay the cost, that now assumes relaxed positions and prostitutes your loss? Were you tortured by your own thirst in those pleasures that you seek? that made you Tom the Curious, that makes you James the Weak. And you claim you got something going, something you call unique. But I've seen your self-pity showing as the tears roll down your cheeks. Soon you know I'll leave ya, and I'll never look behind, 'cause I was born for the purpose that crucifies your mind. So convince your mirror, as you've always done before, giving substance to shadows, giving substance evermore. And you assume you got something to offer, secret shiny in you. But how much of you is repetition that you didn't whisper to him too?
What is special for you about this the song or this interpretation? Do you like it as much as I do?
I like the song. I like the words. What I do not like very much is that, in my impression, some of the instruments are synthesizers, suggesting they're real instruments. That's like the xylophone, like the brass. This is missing a little bit lively.
Right. So, and that's a very good point, because for those of you who are not used to going and see performance live of acoustic instruments, there's something very, very special about the live dimension, but also about a good recording of an acoustic instrument. Can you try to explain this to someone who is maybe not familiar with what we're talking about?
There are several differences. If you have live orchestra, you play much more with natural phrasing, natural articulation, dynamics, balance in the groups themselves, much more than when you play those instruments on a synthesizer, where they sound almost the same. Like it's like one person is playing. It's not breathing. And of course, the quality is getting better and better and better. But I record, and still recording, a lot of music for films in studio. And before, they give me always a kind of a tape that they pre-recorded on synthesizers, how they more or less want it. And then the difference between that and a live orchestra is incredible.
Yes. And
the music comes alive. Like the people are alive.
And you demonstrated your talent with this with the movie The Artist, where you recorded the original score for the film with the Brussels Philharmonic.
Brussels Philharmonic, yes.
Yeah. And this movie, I mean, has been winning the Oscar, 5 Oscars, 7 BAFTAs, 3 Golden Globes, and 6 Césars, with an award for the music every time. So there must be something that you did right.
Yes.
And it's getting... So I'm digging a bit into this, because then when we lead a movement or when we lead a team, or, you know, there's this dimension of connectedness and breathing, letting the movement breathe and evolve, and but still keeping it on track. How have you been asked about this before, or how are you thinking?
I was asked to record it because I worked already with that orchestra. I did several concerts, and they got a request from the company: can you record the music for this film? And they said okay, and we have a conductor for this, and that was me. But this is a good example. the music for the artist is so good that when we started to record it on the first day, the orchestra was totally involved, although they didn't know the music. Sometimes you have to explain the orchestra how it has to be, where it's for, but this music was so good. And from the first till the last day, there was this perfect energy from the whole group, and that was very special.
Was this because of the profiles in the group? Like, so it was a recruitment success combined with a good plan, a good piece?
Well, right? Sometimes all good things come together.
Yeah.
A fantastic composer, very good orchestra, a good team. So everything came together. And you cannot say this before. I have recorded many films with fantastic music, but there was something else wrong or... And but this is with much more music. Sometimes when you start to play, the orchestra is immediately 100% in the mood for this.
Mm.
And means it's good music.
Does it have to do with the place where you're playing as well, the studio or the small things around that put people right in
yes,
the mood?
Yes, that helps. That helps.
Yeah.
And also, yes, because when the acoustic is not good, or when the technical team has problems and you have to do a recording for the sixth or the seventh time, not because of music, but for other reasons, then you are losing energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you need a fantastic orchestra, because if you have 70 people, you're making the recording and one is making a mistake, everybody has to play again.
Right.
Because this. So the musicians has to be able to carry this pressure, to handle this pressure. And the conductor has to be able to give completely confidence to them. So what you do is great. Let's do it here a little bit more or less.
Yeah.
So we build these recordings.
Well, congratulations. Can we talk a little bit about developing a culture about the culture of precision and discipline in classical music, or in music in general, in other movements, but there's something very, as you're saying, it's 70 people playing together, a lot of things can go wrong. There's a cultural dimension to people playing in that sector, in that genre.
Yeah, this has to do with education and with the level of the orchestras. If you are not able to play perfect, such an orchestra will not accept you, so you will not be in the market. But to learn this, it asks discipline to work every day, 7 days a week, a few hours, to precise the smallest thing. I give you an example what I sometimes think, and maybe I'm wrong. When I watch a football match, professional football players, they have a free kick, and the free kick is totally out of the direction. Then I think, well, musicians, when they have to study a scale, they study hours a day, slow, every day to make this perfect. And when you ask them to play it, it's there.
Yeah.
So sometimes I wonder if football players or sporters are training in the right way.
And if they deserve so much money.
Yeah. But you have to like it. You have to like to study every day, hours. And especially for me, in music, you start when you're very young. Little by little. And it's a long way. And sometimes I tell my students, when I have students, it's a long way you have to go. And myself, I like to bike. I also biked a lot in the mountains. To go up a mountain, let's say, when you have to climb 25 kilometers, you do this step by step, a new turn, you turn again, and you see 200 meters up, you turn 400 meters. Because you take a little step every time, you can do it. If you see this 25 kilometers straight ahead to the top, you will not do it. It's too much in once. So do what you do at the moment.
try to pretend you didn't call me just cause I was on your mind. Too soon for you to say out loud, but I know you love me, and though we don't say it, already shows. You already know, but I'll sing it again. I love you, baby, nothing will take me away. I know that you know, but sing it again. I love you, baby, nothing will take me away. You already know, but sing it again. I love you, baby, nothing will take me away. You already know, but sing it again. I love you, baby, nothing will take me away. I'll wait for you to open up.
I don't usually discuss the music on the show, but I must ask if you know Esperanza, Esperanza Spalding. Or I must ask for a small comment on every track that we play, because I
love this music. It's such a swing, easygoing, very lively.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear. I want to touch on mentors. It's something very important in classical music, well, in music in general, growing your career through mentors and then maybe turning into a mentor yourself. It's also a theme in a movie yesterday with Yoda mentoring Luke in Star Wars. How are you thinking around mentorship? Like, what role did it play for you? And are you mentoring anyone right now?
Well, I only can speak about the profession of conductor. When I give masterclasses, I always tell the students not to imitate. I will never learn them how I conduct. I will try to learn them how they can use their possibility the best way. Because if they imitate me, the orchestra also will see its imitation. So to develop their own force, that's the best. So I watch them, I give them advice, and I also tell them, and this is special for our profession, don't come to me or don't go to an international masterclass to be seen as the new Van Karajan, because then you don't have to go there. Just go there, learn, absorb, and then go home and think about it.
What is the kind of, so let's say we're in a masterclass right now and you're watching me conduct, what is the kind of exchange you have with them? There's an orchestra playing that the students are conducting,
mm-hmm.
and you stop and you work by sections, or what is the nature of the interaction?
Usually the masterclass has two episodes. First is that you work with piano, who are playing the orchestra parts, and then you work about on technique, how to get them moved, how to stop them, to tell the students what is the effect of their expression. And then the second part is usually to work with an orchestra. And then they have to deal with the timing of an orchestra, which is always different. sometimes difficult. Orchestras play never exactly on your beat. They always play a little bit later. You have to handle this. Second is how to let people play your idea about music without losing your respect for them, because they are all playing on their instruments better than I do. They are all qualified high-level musicians. So you have to respect what they do. Sometimes you have to be so smart that you use their ideas, let them play. But let's say in the beginning of those classes, it's very important that they get an orchestra moved, that they get them play together.
Right.
And to feel free, as a conductor, to feel free to express yourself. Don't be ashamed of how you look or nothing. Just feel free. And this is what orchestra wants.
Yeah. And when it comes to your interaction with musicians now during a rehearsal, what does a rehearsal look like? You work sections, and then when you need to interact with a musician who knows the instruments very well?
To say it very simple, I start from the very beginning. I play a few minutes, 5, 6, 7 minutes. And then in my mind, I collect what I've seen that I have to do. I never work on things that the musicians know themselves also. I never tell them that's a mistake, because they know it's a mistake.
Right.
So I say, please, can you do it a little bit louder? Play more espressivo there. Think of the balance. I do it again, and then it will be better. And then so I work through the whole piece. Very few times when it's technically very virtuoso, I work slowly on a section, but that's very seldom that I do that.
Right.
Because for me, maybe it's a little bit too much musical time. For me, a virtuoso orchestra is not an orchestra that plays very fast. A virtuoso orchestra is an orchestra that plays fantastic in balance, in musical phrases, help each other in expressing their music, playing exactly what's in the score. That's a virtuoso orchestra. Mm-hmm.
A lot of lessons to draw from this. What did you know you would have to work that hard to reach that level? And what was a turning point in making that decision for a career?
I didn't know. And nobody knows when you start how hard you have to work. The point that I did it more and more was when I felt the result of this work. That I felt that I became a better conductor, the orchestras were more happy. And that makes that you want to work more and more. But it's really every day, there's never a point that you say, okay, now I'm ready and now I can do it. And also, as a person, you change. So hopefully in a better way, because sometimes, and that's also just about music, people ask me, why does that orchestra or why does that piano player record this Beethoven sonata for the 7th time? Because he is a different person, different than 10, 15 years ago. Hopefully it's better. Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. Anyway, it's different.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What is your favorite moment in a concert or in the build up to a concert? Maybe it's not that obvious. Maybe it's obvious. I don't know.
Well, my favorite moment, or what I try to have, a conductor has to control everything. Yeah. But it should not look like it's control. And you can go to the edge between control and freedom. And this is the best moment. Then the orchestra is flying, the music is flying, and you feel the atmosphere with the audience. That's what I try to achieve.
We talked about this highlights of your career with recording the artists, the score for the artists. What are other moments among your projects or other projects in particular that you're enjoying in particular?
I give many, many concerts, and all the concerts where I have found this moment of flying, I have to call it like this, to go out of this, to be in the zone, this is fantastic moment to do, and it can be with classical music. I had it with this fantastic violin player, Maxim Vengirov. I had it with the singer Anna Netrebko. I had it with Shostakovich symphonies. I had it also with the Duke Ellington music, arranged for symphony orchestra. So, and this is a part of giving the concerts, to find this. And the funny thing is, the harder you try, the less you will have it. It's just a kind of meditation, let it happen.
How does it feel? Do you have, because many of us can cry and get in a sort of trance listening to music, or have those very special moments where you get locked in that moment, and you're flying. Maybe that's what you call flying. But when you're conducting, are you and you connect with that moment? How does it translate?
Yes. I know what you mean, Tuidi, but there is a kind of red line always. Don't pass that line, because then it's over.
Right.
So I feel this coming to this edge, what you can do, what you can leave to the orchestra, but always keep the control.
Yeah.
Because that's also the technical side, but that's a part of the happiness to do this.
Yeah. In the projects that you are exploring, I mean, you're working across genres. So you're directing for Foreigner, which is a rather rock act. What other projects are you involved with in other in other areas of music? And what are things maybe that you would like to try and you haven't done so far?
Well, what is important part of my work now is giving this film concert. It's also for the orchestra. It's not the normal audience. It's a new part of our audience, a new part of our work. What I am thinking about is to make more crossover music.
Okay.
Not just to be popular, but to have real music. So when I'm thinking about a project with a DJ, I'm not thinking about a DJ in front of the orchestra and the orchestra behind it just playing long notes or rhythm. No, the DJ behind the orchestra, for example, and to make a program wherein everything comes together. It has always be music. It has also always be emotion, joy, spectacular. That's why should we be on stage if not, that's not there.
Right. Do we have time for one more question, one more track?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you advise to young musicians in general? What is, like, you have a 10-year-old who want to become a virtuoso, or who has the potential? What are the 2 cents that you're giving?
That they have to enjoy very much with what they do, although sometimes they will hate it, but they have to need the feeling that they, in the end, they will love it. But what's for me very important, the older the students are, the less I will motivate them. Because if I have a student and I have to tell him or her, you have to work a little bit more on this or more on this, then he is lost or she is lost, because it's a very, very tough world. A lot of concurrence, and to develop this, to have this scale of working is a part of your talent. I know people who are, as a conductor, much more talented than I am, but they miss the drive to work, or they don't have the discipline or what. So this is a part of your talent. Even when you are leading a company and someone else has to tell you how to do it, that's already difficult.
Yeah.
And for me, it's very important to respect what you do, to respect with other people. Not use them, but respect them.
Yeah. And maybe to people working more generally in the world out there, and to our audience who is working really hard creating new systems and leading teams, leading movements, it's a tough world out there. There are a lot of issues to solve.
But what I tell sometimes, I gave a few lectures for management teams. Treat your people like you want to be treated. That's the best. Do you want to be respected? Do you want to be welcome? So that's very important. We are almost human being. Everybody is young being.
Yeah. I would like to really thank you for carving some time in your busy schedule, because it was a very important discussion to have for us on the show. I didn't like translate everything to what we can learn, what we can apply, but I'm sure the audience can distill the great insights that you have given us.
They have to love what they do.
Yeah.
That's important.
So it's about the passion.
Yes.
Passion always win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we wish you all the best, really, for your next projects. Thanks again for hosting me yesterday night and to watch the performance. Congratulations on all the great work. And you're making really beautiful things happen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.